Testament, lots of plagues, lots of problems, and literally just about to go into the Promised Land here at the end of Numbers. And this is when the 2.5 tribes come to Moses and ask if they can stay on this side Jordan. We all know that this eventually happened, that they did end up staying on the non-Promised Land side of Jordan and settling there. But this is their request. So beginning in verse 1, it says, "The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and a very great multitude of cattle, when they saw the land of Jezer, the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleali and Shebam and Nebo and beyond, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. When they went up into the valley of Eshel and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, and that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they've not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. The Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and you shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." So we get some context on verse 23, don't we? Very well-known verse, be sure your sin will find you out. What's the context? The context is God's people saying, and Moses thought they were saying they weren't willing to fight, and that it would discourage the people's hearts, and that if they weren't willing to go fight with God's children, God would punish them. They did go fight, by the way, but we'll see that later. But discourage ye the heart is our title. We'll pray. Lord, I pray that you would open your word now and teach us from it. And Lord, that we would draw from it applications for our own walk. We would realize that we're also, Lord, in a battle with the devil, with the world, with the flesh. And Lord, that we'd be willing to fight. And I pray, Lord, that we would grow through this time in your word, and you would guide us in your truth. And we thank you for this and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this these tribes, because they had cattle, and it was a good place to raise cattle, they became very covetous, if you will, of that part, even though it wasn't the Promised Land, and their cattle was important to them as their possessions. And the pictures Christians who their possessions can often be more important than serving the Lord. which is, of course, very dangerous. God says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, right? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. But God says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. But they wanted to be what you would call world borderers. In other words, they wanted to be right on the edge of the promised land, but not in the promised land. This is a land that they had been waiting for a very, very, very long time, since the time of Abraham. And they're finally about to go in, and these two tribes say, we'd rather just stay on this side of the promised land and rather than go into the promised land. But it's all about war, which teaches us a lot about the promised land, doesn't it? That the promised land can't represent heaven, even though in our hymns sometimes it does. But we definitely don't have to go to war to get heaven, do we? Heaven's a gift. But we do have to go to war to live the life God wants us to live, the victorious Christian life. And that war never ends, as we will see. And that's what Moses said. He said, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? In other words, why would you, as he says in verse 7, discourage ye the heart of the rest of Israel? And Moses at this point didn't realize that they promised that they would go fight with them. But he said, if you choose to sit here while they go to war, it's just going to discourage them. It's going to discourage their hearts. And, well, we're all in a war, as we'll see. And this is the same. Christians are here to fight the devil. We're here to fight the world for souls. For God, and God wants us to fight. I'll show you some scriptures in the New Testament. Go to 2 Timothy 2:3. And the day that you got saved, you enlisted in God's army as one of his soldiers. It wasn't optional. You were immediately drafted, amen, into the army of God. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we are a soldier of Jesus Christ. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, God uses war and warfare many times in the New Testament to be an illustration of the Christian life. Notice 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing and so forth. But notice the weapons of our warfare. So again, warfare. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, war a good warfare. 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith. So we are soldiers in God's army. We're here to fight the devil for the cause of souls, for Jesus Christ. And it is a literal battle. Even we saw this morning how there is this spiritual world out there that our eyes can't see, but it's real. And that we're here to fight. But Moses said, if they go to war and you sit here, it's going to discourage their hearts. Now, if you go to Hebrews 10, God says that Christians are to provoke one another, but unto love and to good works. So it's a positive provoke, if you will, just like God says he provokes us from his word to live for him. Here in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, to provoke our fellow believers to serve God. And that's what Moses is saying, that the opposite is true, that if you aren't willing to help fight, it's going to discourage the children of God instead of encouraged children of God. And he said that as well. If you go to Deuteronomy 1:28, this is what he was referring to back when they wouldn't go into the promised land based on the report from the 10 spies. Deuteronomy 1:28. Notice what he says. Whither shall we go up? Or brethren, our brethren have discouraged our heart. So here he's referring to when they wouldn't go into the promised land based on the report of the 10 spies. They're reflecting back and saying, our brethren have discouraged our heart. same phrase, discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven and so forth, which we saw in the back in early number book of Numbers. And what was the result? They didn't go in. They instead were sent back into the desert for 40 years to die. Their hearts were discouraged by the report brought by the 10 spies. Here, he is warning them, Moses is, that if they choose not to fight with Israel, it will discourage the hearts of the rest of Israel. Then he, back in our passage here in Numbers 32, he reflects back to that refusal to enter the promised land. Notice in verse 10, the Lord's anger was kindled. So why was God's anger kindled back then? Because of the report of the 10 spies. Because they didn't believe that God could do this. Because of the giants and the walled cities. They said, we can't do it. Of course, Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. Let's go. But the people listened to the 10 and said, we can't do it. Even God here mentions verse 12, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. By what? By believing and trusting God, that he keeps his word, that this is our land, and that if we go in, he'll give it to us. But he doesn't give it to them as a gift, does he? He makes them fight for it. The only city, if you will, that was a gift was the first city, and that was Jericho, right? All they had to do was march around that one. God knocked down the walls. They took the city. But from that point on, every city they took was a war, a battle. They had to get their swords out and they had to go fight. And they had to fight for every piece of land. Why would that be? Because we have to fight for every piece of land in the victorious Christian life that God wants us to live. It's a battle. We're soldiers. We're here to fight. And back then, God's anger was kindled. Why? Because of the evil report. Because they discourage the hearts of the children of Israel with their evil report about the land. So here in verse 14 of our passage, he says, behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment your yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. It says, if you do this thing, if you stay here and sit on this side of Jordan while your brothers and sisters go and fight in the promised land, it's going to be the same thing all over again. For 15, if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. So how important was it that they go fight with their brothers, with their fellow Israelites in the promised land? Very important. So thankfully, they understood this, and they said, verse 17, we will go ready armed. If you'll let us have this land on this side Jordan, let us build our cities here, let us put our families here, put down roots here. Our wives and our children will stay here, but all the men, all the soldiers, we will cross Jordan and we will fight with Israel until they have their land. That's quite a promise, because this took decades to take the promised land. It didn't just happen in a couple of months. But this was their promise. We will go and we will help fight. So Moses, verse 20. If you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. If you will obey, number one, and if you will fight with your brothers, then you can have this land that you're asking for. Verse 23, but if you will not do so, if you say you're going to fight, but you don't go fight, if you will not do it, you have sinned before the Lord or against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So it gives us some context on verse 23, doesn't it? We've all heard this verse before all of our lives. Be sure your sin will find you out. But specifically, it's Moses saying, you need to go fight. We're in a war. And you need to fight alongside your brothers and your sisters because we are in a long time war with the devil, who is our enemy, we're told, with the world, which is our enemy, we're told, even our own flesh, which is our enemy. He says, if you'll go and fight with them, then you'll be guiltless. But if you don't, your sin will find you out. So what a interesting lesson about fighting, but also about your sin will find you out. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, thou shalt also reap. Right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. But the Bible also says, if you go to Psalm 51, verse 3, that we always have a responsibility, if we do sin, to deal with it. Amen? Notice Psalm 51, verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. To deal with it, just like David tried to hide from God, and Nathan had to be sent and say, thou art the man. And then David wrote Psalm 51 when he repented. And then also Proverbs 28, verse 13. It's a basic principle of Scripture that we need to deal with this, any sin before God, because it's going to find us out. Psalm 28, 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Why? Because we serve a merciful God. Praise God. If we got what we deserve, we'd all just go to hell. But we don't get what we deserve because our God is merciful. Our God has given us eternal life. But we're still his children. And so we're still accountable to live an obedient life. And we're still accountable to fight, to be a good soldier, as we read. And then, of course, 1 John 1, 9, we all know it, but let's turn there and see it with our eyes. I'm sure more than half of you know this one by heart. If you don't, you should probably learn it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Deal with it. Your sin will find you out. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 quickly, if you would. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31. The Bible says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So again, God's saying the same thing. If we will judge ourselves, if when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin that we've committed, we deal with it, that's the thing to do. But he says, if we don't, then we're inviting the chastisement because God's a loving father and he chastises his children. So Moses says to them, if you will not go fight with your brethren, you will discourage their hearts. And it just shows that we can have an impact on our brothers and sisters. Amen. We need to be willing to fight with them. We are in a war against a very large enemy, but not larger than God. And God's on our side. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But God chose to do it this way. I mean, think about it. He could have just made it such that once we got saved, we were impenetrable. We were indestructible. I mean, we do have God living in us after all, don't we? He could have made it such that the devil can't get to us. The world can't get to us. But he chose not to do it this way, didn't he? He chose instead to say, I'm in you, and I'm going to empower you, and I'm going to help you, but you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight and fight and fight for the life I want you to have. There's going to be a lot of battles. The devil's going to come after you. He's called our adversary. The world's going to be constantly bombarding you. You're going to have to fight until I take you home to heaven. And then God says in Hebrews 4, we will have a time of rest. Amen? Eternal rest. We aren't going to fight any battles in heaven. Even when we come back with Jesus, in Revelation 19, the Bible says the armies in heaven come back with Jesus on white horses. But if you read the passage, we don't fight. Even though we're referred to as an army, Jesus does all the fighting. We just watch him win. But until that day comes, until we're with Jesus, we're here to fight. And if we'll fight alongside each other, it's an encouragement to each other. Amen. But if we sit and say, you go fight, I'll just sit here, then it can discourage, as he told them. And if we choose not to fight, what does he say? Be sure your sin will find you out. Because God knows everything. Amen. Our secret sin, Psalm 90, verse 3, in the light of thy countenance. So we're here to fight. We're here to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. And as we fight, he says, let's fight together. Let's fight side by side. Amen. So don't discourage the heart, he says, but go and fight with your brothers. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and this beautiful lesson for us as your children, as your soldiers. I pray, Lord, that we would not stop fighting. We appreciate Paul's example where he said he's kept the faith. Lord, he didn't quit until the very end. He just kept fighting. And I pray that'll be each of us, that we won't stop fighting the devil. We won't stop fighting against the attacks of the world upon our lives. And we'll just keep using that sword of the Spirit and standing for you. I pray, Lord, that as we do it, we'd be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters as well, that we would fight the enemy. So thank you for this lesson. Thank you also for the reminder, Lord, that if we sin and we don't deal with it, our sin will find us out. And then you will deal with it.